Let's pray. We'll get into God's word together. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we as a church can celebrate couples celebrating 60 years of marriage. Thanks for Kiwanis, what they're doing. Father, it's so good to be part of a bigger church family as well and to be part of what's going on there. Father, we pray this morning that as we continue to look at the whole idea of the resurrection of Jesus and what that means to us, that you will speak to each one of us in the room today in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, if you were here, you know we celebrated Easter. It was a great celebration. We celebrated the fact that Jesus is alive, that he is our risen King. But you know what often happens? Is we celebrate Easter and the resurrection one day a year. And the resurrection of Jesus wasn't meant to be a one-day celebration. Nor was the resurrection just a happy ending to the story of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is something that's supposed to impact our lives every single day. We should regularly experience the hope and the presence and the power of the risen Jesus in our lives. Now, how can that happen? How can each of us in this room on a regular basis experience the hope and the joy and the power and the presence of the risen Jesus in our lives? I think it starts by each of us understanding that Jesus is the risen King. It says in Mark 1, 14 and 15, and for the first few minutes of this sermon, you're going to recognize some of what I'm going to tell you because I've spoken it to you before, but I think it's so important that we need to be reminded. After John was in prison, Mark says, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus is saying here that a critical moment in history had arrived. The promised time for God's kingdom to break through in a powerful and unique way had come. Jesus says, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. Did you know that Jesus spoke more about the kingdom of God than anything else? His words, his miracles, his teaching all demonstrated and announced that God's kingdom was at hand. Now you may be wondering, what on earth is the kingdom of God? We don't use the word kingdom much today. They did in the day of Jesus, but we don't use that term a lot. But a kingdom describes the dominion of a king. It's the king's sphere of reign and authority. It's the sphere in which the king, what the king says goes. For example, if I was the king of a country, and Joe sitting over here was a citizen in that country, you could say that Joe was in my kingdom, meaning that he would be subject to the laws of my kingdom. He would be under my reign and rule. He would also experience the blessings of my little kingdom. The kingdom of God is the realm in which God's will and desire are being carried out. It's the sphere in which the rule and reign of Jesus is manifest. Now you may say, well, isn't that everywhere? Well, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? That means that God's will is not being completely done here on earth. In fact, there are many things, we know this, that are happening here on earth today that are not the will of God. God's will isn't that children would be gassed in Syria. God's will is not that millions of children would be aborted. God's will is not that there would be massive poverty on this planet. We know that God's will is not being completely done on this earth. Thus when Jesus says, let's look at it this way first. One day, the kingdom of God will fully come. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. In the meantime, we live in this in-between time. You've heard me say this before if you've been at our church any length of time. God had his D-Day. That was the cross and the resurrection. God's going to have his victory day when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we live in this in-between time. Thus, when Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near, he was saying that God's rule and reign from heaven was invading our rule and reign on this earth. Jesus came bringing the kingdom. His miracles offered a preview of the kingdom. An advanced screening, if you will, of the time when God will put everything right in this world. Now the problem was, Jesus' words and actions were so revolutionary that they were threatening. The military and the political and the religious powers of the day. So you know the story. They had him executed. They hung him on a cross. And it was there on that cross, as we saw last week, that Jesus accomplished his plan to recover a fallen world. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can now enter his kingdom. Colossians 1:13, we're going to look at the whole book of Colossians starting in a few weeks. It says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. When we come to the cross, we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. In other words, the cross is a doorway into God's kingdom. And once a person has entered God's kingdom, they can live kingdom-empowered lives. This is so important for us to understand. When you come to the cross, you then use the cross as a doorway to enter into the kingdom. And when you enter into the kingdom, Jesus is king, you're a subject, and you can now live a kingdom-empowered life. Now that raises a couple of questions. Question number one, if that's true, why are so many Christ followers today living lives of defeat? Why are so many Christ followers battling addictions of different kinds? Why are so many Christ followers dealing with relational issues? Why are so many Christ followers living lives of defeat if what I just said is true? And have you ever wondered, here's the second question, why study after study shows us that there is very few discernible differences between the way a Christ follower and a non-Christ follower lives in North America. If I'm living in the kingdom where Christ is king and I'm a subject and I'm living a kingdom-empowered life, you would think there would be a massive difference between non-Christ followers and Christ followers in their daily lives. What's up with that? Well, I believe the answer is that many Christ followers don't see themselves as kingdom people. Many people today are living on the wrong side of the cross. They're living on this side of the cross. They're living a death-centered Christianity. They're looking at a dead Jesus hanging on a cross. They're on this side of the cross. Their Christianity is death-centered, not life-centered. So, why are so many people on the wrong side of the cross? Because if I'm on this side of the cross and I'm looking at a death-centered Christianity, then I can still be my own king. Because I haven't envisioned myself as entering into the kingdom where Jesus is king. So why are so many people on this side of the cross? I believe it's because the North American church has reduced the gospel of Jesus simply to getting people to pray the prayer. Thus, many North American churchgoers think the gospel of Jesus is all about praying the prayer, going to church, being nice, and then waiting till you die and go to heaven where everything will be figured out. But there's a problem with that. And the problem is the gospel that Jesus preached, the gospel that led to the martyrdom of most of the first 12 disciples, was not a pray your prayer and go to heaven type of gospel. The gospel that the early church, the gospel that Jesus proclaimed and demonstrated, turned the world upside down. Bodies and minds and souls were healed. Demons were cast out. Lives were restored. People were redeemed and communities were transformed. The gospel Jesus and the early church preached was not a sin management gospel. It was a gospel of life transformation. It was the gospel of the kingdom. Christianity was never meant to be a death-centered religion. It was never meant to be a death-centered religion. It was meant to be a life-centered religion. And here's the reason why. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. Through his death, Jesus took care of our sins. Then when Jesus was resurrected, he conquered sin and death. And as he ascended, he was raised above all authority. And when he was enthroned, Jesus became king. And today, Jesus is sitting on the throne of his kingdom. He's alive, and he is the risen king. It says in Psalm 24:10 this: Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Jesus is the risen King of glory. Do you believe that? Jesus is the risen King of glory. You're not meant to live a death-centered Christianity. You're meant to live a life-centered Christianity. We don't worship a dead Savior on a cross. We worship a risen, living Savior who is the King of kings. We're meant to live on this side of the cross in God's kingdom as kingdom-empowered people where Jesus is king. We're not meant to live on this side of the cross. And listen, when you enter the cross, when you enter the kingdom through the cross, when you come to the cross and the work of Christ's work on the cross is applied to your life and you enter into his kingdom, you get a new identity. You're now a saint, not a sinner. You're now a son or a daughter of God. You're now a servant of the Most High. You can not only experience forgiveness for sins when you're in the kingdom, you can experience power over sin. Did you know that when you live in the kingdom, you have access to the same power that raised Jesus from the dead? Do you know that? That's what the Bible teaches. That should transform your life. And when you live in the kingdom, you're called to a whole new way of living. A life that is directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. A life that is lived under Christ's kingship. A life where you do what your king says you should do. We come under his dominion, his rule, his reign, his influence, his empowerment. Let me give you an example. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I send you. Now our king is a rescuing king. It says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus came on a rescue mission. God the Father sent his Son Jesus into the world on a rescue mission. He came to rescue this world. He came to restore all things. He came to rescue us. He came to turn our ashes into beauty. In his inaugural sermon, really it's his mission statement, Jesus quoted a passage from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 61. And as he read this passage, this really became his mission statement. Jesus said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Do you see there, Jesus declared his mission was to bring good news to the poor and healing to the brokenhearted and liberty to the captives and sight to the blind and freedom to the oppressed. And then if you look at Isaiah 61, the next verse also gives us insight, I believe, to Jesus' ministry. It says this, he gives beauty for ashes, joy for sadness, and garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. All around him, as you read the Gospels, you see this. All around him, Jesus encountered the brokenness, the ashes of people's lives. And then Jesus encountered those ashes, and he made an exchange. And he replaced the sickness and the isolation and the brokenness and the hopelessness and the despair, the ashes in people's lives, with something beautiful. Out of the ashes of sin, Jesus brought forgiveness. Out of the ashes of sickness, Jesus brought health. Out of the ashes of death, Jesus brought life. Out of the ashes of fear and death, Jesus brought hope and faith. And out of the ashes of oppression, Jesus brought freedom. Jesus replaced ashes in people's lives with hope and peace and joy and transformation. Over and over again in the Gospels, Jesus turned the ashes in people's lives into something beautiful. And our risen King has said to us, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." Jesus wants us to join him on his rescue mission, on his mission to bring his kingdom to earth, on his mission to set things right, on his mission to restore all things, on his mission to redeem people, on his mission to turn ashes into beauty. Jesus wants us to be kingdom bringers, people who advance the kingdom of God by pushing back the oppression and the despair and the injustice and the sin and the hopelessness and the brokenness and the poverty of the enemy's kingdom. Jesus wants us to be people who bring up there, down here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, I want you to bring my kingdom down to earth. I want you to bring what is done in heaven down here to earth. Jesus calls us to be kingdom bringers. And you know what has happened today is this. We've confused our calling with our destiny. And some Christ followers believe their call is to be nice people. And then their calling is to wait for the day when they go to heaven. But that's not right. That's not what our King calls us to. Listen, our destiny as Christ followers is heaven. Our calling is to bring heaven to earth. Our calling is to demonstrate the reality of the kingdom of God in words and actions. Our calling is to let Jesus work through us to turn people's ashes into beauty. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're to bring his rule and his blessings and his transforming power and grace to bear on this world. Think about your last week. And think about the people around you this last week. All around you, there's brokenness and sin and sickness and pain and hopelessness, ashes in people's lives. And Jesus wants to work through you to turn the ashes in people's lives into something beautiful. Jesus is calling us to bring good news to the poor. He's calling us to heal the brokenhearted. He's calling us to bring liberty to the captives. He's calling us to bring sight to the blind. He's calling us to bring freedom to the oppressed. Imagine what that could look like. Imagine if we literally brought heaven to earth, what would that look like? How could Jesus use you to do that? Is there sin in heaven? No. Maybe Jesus wants to work through you to help root out sin in people's lives. Is there sickness in heaven? No. Maybe Jesus wants to work through you to bring healing, miraculous healing to others. Is there relational conflict in heaven? No. Maybe Jesus wants to empower you and use you to bring peace into people's relationships. Is there poverty in heaven? Nope. Maybe Jesus wants to use you, empower you, direct you to relieve poverty somewhere. Imagine what could happen in Victoria if we lived fully as kingdom people, if we lived on this side of the cross. What do you think could happen? What do you think could happen? If we decided that we were going to live fully as kingdom people, what do you think would happen? What would happen if we abandoned ourselves and joined Jesus on his mission to restore and redeem? What do you think could happen if we became the cultural, countercultural change agents that the early church was? What do you think could happen if each of us went out empowered by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and turned ashes into beauty in the name of Jesus? How many lives? How many families, how many communities would be impacted and transformed in the name of Jesus if we really believed that Jesus was alive, he was the risen King, and he was my King? Dream with me. Dream with me of a movement of Jesus-loving, kingdom-focused, 6-8 living, life-giving, Holy Spirit and power people who go out into the city. Can you imagine what would happen if that happened? Miracles would start breaking out. Lives would be transformed. Communities would be changed. Revival would happen. And it all starts with us living on the right side of the cross. But that's really the only side of the cross we can live on if we know Jesus. Because if we've really come to Jesus and we know Jesus, then we're in his kingdom. And the question is, are we living as kingdom people or are we living in rebellion? If we're living in rebellion, which side of the cross are we really on? Because frankly, I look out as I preach this stuff and people are looking up. They're crossing their arms, they're looking down, they're like, are you done yet? Because this is really boring. That's what I see this morning. I see a bunch of people are like, yeah, whatever. If we believe it, we'll change the world. If we believe it. So here's my question for you this morning as I end. Here's my question. Where are you in relation to the cross? Where are you in relation to the cross? And maybe some of you are way over here. I know it's dark and the lights aren't any good, but follow me anyway. Maybe you're way over here. And you're going, I'm way away from the cross. I've just started this church thing. I don't know anything about Jesus. Man, we want you to keep coming back. Even if you're bored, keep coming back. It's all good. Want you here. because we want to draw you to the Jesus that loves you so much. He came to this world and died on the cross for you. And maybe you're here this morning, and Christianity's really, you're playing the, hey, I prayed the prayer, I'm being nice, I'm coming to church because it's the thing to do, and I'm waiting to croak so I can go to heaven. Maybe you're in that boat this morning. That's not Christianity. That's a bad deal. Jesus never wanted us to look at him dead on a cross. Jesus wanted us to know that what he did on the cross was amazing. And he hung on the cross for us so we could experience forgiveness of sins, so we could have a restored relationship with God. But Jesus doesn't want us to look at a dead Jesus on a cross. Jesus wants us to know him as the risen, glorious King and Savior and loving Father that he is. And that means we're over here. Maybe you're over here. But are you over here? Are you living as a kingdom person? Are you allowing Jesus to empower your life? Are you willing to abandon everything and just say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to live with abandon and I don't care what people think, but I'm going to love God and I'm going to love others and I'm just going to go do it. I'm going to pray that people will get healed. I'm going to pray that people will come to know Jesus. I'm going to pray the city will be transformed. I'm going to pray revival will break out. I'm going to go live as an empowered kingdom person. So where are you on the cross this morning? And maybe you're in one more spot, then I got to end. Maybe you're right here and you're saying, I want to come to the cross, I want to enter into the kingdom, but how do I do that? How do I do that? Can I just say, Jesus tells us in Mark 1, the way we have the work of the cross applied to our life and the way we enter into his kingdom through the cross is by doing two things, repenting and believing. And repent means we turn. It just simply means if I'm going this way, I choose to go this way. So instead of living for myself, instead of living for consumerism, instead of living for whatever I'm living for, whatever is my king, I abandon it and I go, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want you to be king. That's what it means to repent. And that means to believe. And believe means more than just give mental assent to a bunch of doctrine. That's why we have a lot of people living on this side of the cross. Believe means that I put my trust in. Believe actually means, the word actually means I pledge allegiance to. Does that help? You understand what that means? I pledge allegiance to the King. And when I come to the cross and say, Jesus, I want the work on a cross applied to my life. Thank you for your forgiveness. I want to follow you. I'm going to change who the king is in my life. And I'm going to pledge allegiance to the new king, my new savior, my loving father. And when you do that, you move into his kingdom. Now it's time to live as a kingdom person. And if you're not living as a kingdom person, please ask yourself this question, am I in his kingdom? Am I in his kingdom? Let me pray for you. Then we'll see what God's going to do. Father, I just pray that you're God of the city. You're the God of our lives. You're the God. We need to know you as the risen Jesus. There should be nothing boring about the risen Jesus. There should be nothing boring about talking about the risen Jesus. And I just pray you'll make yourself alive to every one of us in this room. I pray for those that are far from you, you'll draw them close. I pray for those that are right there that today they'll make that decision to repent and believe. I pray for those who are nice church-going people that they will actually see that they need to enter your kingdom. And I pray for all of us that we be life-centered people. God, you want to empower us with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. How does that not transform our lives? God, I just pray that you'll do something amazing in each of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.